Welcome to the Gut Doctor Podcast, where Dr. Neil Parikh describes GI disorders and answers common questions related to the GI tract. Please note this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. We hope you enjoy.
Today we return to our Food as Medicine series. And to help us out today, we have Dr. Anjia Sheikh, one of the residents at University of Connecticut, one who I've done quite a bit of research with here, and who's soon to be a fellow at Yale New Haven Health Hospital. Anjia, thank you for joining me.
Hi, Dr. Parikh. Thank you for having me here tonight.
So Anjia is going to tell us about turmeric today. So what is turmeric?
So turmeric is a well-known spicin A cuisine. It's used as a medicine herb for treatment of inflammation, wound healing, really also digestive disorders, to name a few. There's a lot of preclinical research that's shown it's bioactive curcuminoid polyphenols can affect a variety of chronic conditions. They do have a poor oral bioavailability, which has hindered human trials investigating the efficacy of oral turmeric in treating these disorders. Recent development of absorption-enhanced curcuminoid formulations in the past decade has actually started some studies into the spice's actions towards inflammatory conditions and, you know, glucose lipid dysregulation.
So you mentioned some of those reported benefits. Are these benefits really secondary to these compounds? And what are some other benefits, not GI necessarily, of turmeric?
So it's known for its anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, anti-carcinogenic, anti-thrombotic, as well as cardiovascular protective effects. So, for example, it's used in osteoarthritis. There was a recent meta-analysis comparing to small randomized controlled trials, which showed that turmeric agents are as effective as reducing osteoarthritis-related knee pain as NSAIDs. And, you know, they're at the same time much more safe and have fewer side effects. In cardiovascular disease, some studies state that they help lower lipid levels, therefore protecting patients at, you know, risk for cardiovascular disease. And then also curcumin or turmeric also has numerous positive effects when it comes to platelet aggregation. So it reduces platelet aggregation, you know, affects anticoagulation, fibrinolysis. And so some studies suggest that this can be used or considered as adjunctive therapy to currently marketed anticoagulant or antiplatelet agents. It does also, you know, it's kind of reported to have a role in cancer, anti-carcinogenic, not very widely studied, but it there are numerous trials on it that it really prevents cancerous cells from developing. So really, those are some of the benefits of turmeric.
Interesting. So, I mean, I've definitely heard of the cardiovascular ones. But I had not heard so specifically that, you know, there's meta-analyses showing some efficacy equal to NSAIDs. That's a very powerful statement if that's true.
Yeah, no, I was also a little shocked because I was looking through these studies. But again, they do have meta-analyses, but the sample size is small, so it's harder to really, you know, make these statements without, you know, having more data for those.
Yeah, no, I think that's an important point. I think something we'll probably touch up on again is that a lot of these studies, when you're looking at not traditional pharmaceutical compounds, the size of studies may not be as significant as true randomized controlled trials or true meta-analyses. So,
yeah. Anjia, sorry, go ahead.
No, what about gut-specific benefits?
So again, for gut-specific benefits, they've looked into, or they've, you know, a lot of patients or studies report some benefits with dyspepsia, so improvement in dyspepsia clinical scores. And then with peptic ulcer healing, so there have been some studies noting complete healing after endoscopy. There's some role in IBS as well. So there's been improvement in IBS clinical scores, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and GERD. But I couldn't find much data on bigger studies or bigger sample size. These were all small studies reporting these effects. So
So, I mean, there's potential for research right there, because that's interesting because we just talked about how turmeric may be similar to NSAIDs when it comes to cardiovascular disease. And then it seems a little counterintuitive that it would also help with peptic ulcer disease. So, of course, I think it's important to stress to our listeners that we do need more guidance in terms of literature when it comes to turmeric.
yeah, if you think about it, because they're also talking about, anti-inflammatory, and then also kind of like, they're like anti-platelet agents, so that kind of has, you don't know if it's going to help you in, like peptic ulcer disease or GI bleeding. Really, it's kind of a weird statement to make.
So, what precautions or concerns should patients be mindful? Obviously, we think of turmeric, we think a lot of herbal supplements as safe. You mentioned the term safe, possibly compared to NSAIDs earlier as well. But what are specific concerns with turmeric?
So some of the concerns are really, bleeding is one of the concern. People who are already on anticoagulation, such as like Coumadin, or even it's not studied that well, but this could turmeric can lead to increased risk of bleeding. There's also been some case reports of case studies, which actually have been recently reported. Causing drug-induced liver injury or a sort of hepatitis as well. And so I think this might be in higher doses. The other thing that I was reading also was turmeric is poorly absorbed from the GI tract. And so in higher doses, it can cause nausea, diarrhea, and it also binds to iron in the GI tract, so it prevents its absorption. It can also lead to iron deficiency anemia. But these are higher doses of turmeric, and they haven't been, these are just reported adverse effects in some studies. I don't think that they have enough of a sample size or enough of an N to really make these statements. But people who have maybe iron deficiency anemia or at a higher risk for bleeding or are on anticoagulation should be careful.
So I think that's important. Two things are: one, there could be drug-drug interactions with any herbal supplement. You worry about that. You always worry about other blood thinners with any herbal supplement. So turmeric is no different, as you're saying. And then I think the second point you mentioned, if you're going to try something like turmeric, and you're going to maybe obviously speak with your provider, but start with low doses, and maybe some of these concerns really get heightened at higher doses.
Yep, you're correct.
So say we have someone who's checked those boxes, made sure there's no drug-drug interaction, spoken with the provider, and wants to give turmeric a try for one of these reported benefits. How does one incorporate turmeric into lifestyle? Are there common regimens, common forms? Is there directly into recipes? Anything you came across?
Yeah, of course. So, like I said earlier, oral turmeric is not very bioavailable. It has poor absorption. So, turmeric is available now commercially in capsules, tablets, soft gels, in powder form formulations. But I don't think that helps a lot. But in gummies, I don't think that it's been kind of approved by FDA for any specific indication, and its potency and purity varies, but I've seen that a lot of people are commercially using it in capsules or tablets, really.
Andrea, that was very helpful. I think what I have seen is in capsules and tablets as well. So, and obviously there are certain recipes that you can incorporate there as well too. Thank you so much for this. I really appreciate your time today.
Of course, thank you for having me, and it was interesting going over terms.